You open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians 9. I love seeing, and I can't say it enough times. I know I say it all the time, but I love seeing our kids in church. I love seeing them comfortable when they're small, they're in worship, back there playing. The ones that are old enough come up here and are involved in leading to praise. And it's, before you know it, they'll be the ones leading to praise. They'll be the ones teaching Sunday school. They'll be the ones being called on to pray. Isn't that awesome? So 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we'll get there eventually. But if you will, well, we'll get there. As you know, each year as a church, we set a yearly theme. It's a simple theme, and quite honestly, God changed that throughout the year for me. Three or four times. But this is the one he kept bringing me back to right here. Simple themes that are going to help us remain focused. That we can remember our purpose, our direction, and everything we do. As you challenge us in moving forward. In the words we say. The people we talk to. And these themes are never anything weird or surprising. Not something you're going to say, I never thought of that. There are scriptural, God-honoring themes that should be consistently part of our lives. But they allow us as a church to emphasize something that year and grow in this area throughout the year. So each year the themes don't renew. We simply add to. Each theme we've had, theme that we've had previously are not over. They're parts of our lives, and we'll even go back to them some year. But we want to grow and add to our faith, add to our service of God. And this is really the eighth year that we've have done a theme for the church. Some of you remember in 2017 when we started doing theme, we did diving in. It's being serious and committed to the study of God's Word. And that's the first year that I put the Bible reading schedules out. Didn't know how it would go. It was awesome. People shared with me how they loved it. The first time they'd read through certain portions of the Bible. First time they'd read the Bible with a purpose and a desire. Talking about stuff that had gotten into. Man, thank you, God. 2018, we did Beyond Words. As a matter of applying God's Word to our everyday life. Not to just hold them in our minds and be happy we memorized them and know them, but that we actually let the Word of God affect and change our lives. 2019 was pour out, investing in the lives of others, building up. In 2020, we did bent knees. It was the purpose of being persistent and consistent in prayer. Little did we know that year was the year we almost ran out of toilet paper, so we needed prayer. Some other stuff happened too, but that's all I'm going to mention. And it was great just to see people praying for one another. 2021, we did Hidden in the Heart, memorizing God's Word. Honestly, that was the most discouraging one. Because I heard one after another after another, I don't like that one. I'm not good at memorizing. And it felt like we didn't want to give it a chance. But there were some that did. And some were asking about the new verses. It was a hard one. But we're supposed to hide it in our heart. In 2022, we did Beautifully Unified. FBC needed to be united in fulfilling our God-given purpose. Not only during a service time, but in our regular everyday lives, being involved in one another's lives. See, those things should continue in our lives. Last year, which we just ended, was intimate prayer. It was a deepening our prayer life with a desire to serve one another, to get to know each other better through the prayer. And this year, 2024, as you can see behind me, simple. One more. As believers, we're given a purpose, a mission. And his mission should be our joy, our excitement. And last week we spoke a little bit about being ambassadors for Christ. That our life must represent him in every word, every deed, every attitude that we have, every place that we go. That the name of Jesus should excite us, be our life, be our motivation. And too often, the name of Jesus we say so much that we can let it fly by like we're just saying another name. But the name of Jesus is the name above all names. The one and only Jesus Christ is the one we speak of. The name Jesus is what gives me hope, because it purges me of my sins, washes them away. It makes me white as snow. But with the excitement of who Jesus is, we are given a mission. And Mark records this in a very simple way in Mark 16, 15. Jesus' words, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." That's our mission. That should be our joy. That should be our excitement. "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." We're commanded by Jesus to preach the gospel, to preach the work of Jesus Christ to the world. Make sure all hear the gospel. Catch that? That's our mission. That's our life. That's what we were saved for, to make him known. Proverbs 11:30 says this, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." Now listen to that verse again very carefully. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. See, the book of Proverbs is known as the book of wisdom. And if you read through it, you're going to see a call. Wisdom is calling man into a relationship with God, into obedience with God, calling man into the ways of God. And those who listen and come to wisdom, come to God, he says, are wise. And what happens to a truly wise man that walks with God? Proverbs 11 says that wise people become a tree of life for others. Why? Because a wise person that walks with God, by their words and by their lives, others can gain life because they'll come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. You see, the power in fulfilling our job comes through being wise and walking with God. And then Romans chapter 10, verse 15 tells us a very sweet verse. "How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. God loves evangelism. The heart of God is evangelism. Throughout all Scripture, he tells people to go out and call people unto himself. He loves those that follow his calling so much that he calls one of the nastiest parts of the body, feet. Anybody else here hate touching feet? That's nasty, okay? My wife loves feet rubs. Most of you know, before I will touch those nasty things. And her feet are beautiful, by the way. Smell good. She goes and scrubs them. And she's got the beautiful feet. Some of the, I'm going to pay for that one. Okay, I'm sorry. She knows. There was nothing new, was it? I still do it. Well, I ain't done it. Holly, I sure appreciate you. You get a foot rub, Holly? You got no appointment? Yes, you can get your foot rub, babe. Go down the street. And he says, "Beautiful are the feet." I don't care whose feet they are and what they look like and how much Holly dressed them up. Feet are nasty, okay? Now add to that, these people walked in the desert on roads shared with animals. And you know what animals do on that road? Yes, those feet were nasty, okay? And yet God says that beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, and bring glad tidings and good things. It's not because you have nice feet. It's because those feet are used to carry His word, His gospel, a great message. A message that brings peace with God, a reconciled sinful man with a holy and loving God. That's why God says those feet are beautiful. Not because He likes those crow toes and stuff, no. You see, we have a big and important mission to accomplish in reaching the world for Christ. But we must see it as doing it one person at a time. If you open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul really shares the importance of this mission. Understand, Paul is one of the greatest evangelists of all time. He is one that God used to write over half of the New Testament. I believe he wrote 14 of the 27 New Testament books or letters. God inspired Paul to give us this writing. And Paul suffered in his ministry with the purpose of the gospel. In every sort of way he went through, Paul suffered. And yet, and I'll share with you, side point, again, if you were here on Wednesday nights, In Philippians chapter 1, he's arrested writing a letter out of a prison, and he says that this is a blessing because he gets to share the gospel with people he couldn't have reached otherwise. Do you think the purpose of his life is to make Jesus known? You ever stop and say, man, it was a blessing that I got pulled over by the cop? I got to share Jesus with him. Paul did nothing wrong. He was sitting in prison. You see here, he tells us why and how far we should go in this goal of reaching the world for Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Go down to verse 19. And we're going to read a handful of verses, but really stay glued to this. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all that I might gain the more. And unto the Jew I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law of God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Father, we come to you. We thank you for loving us. Thank you for being right here with us, Lord. I thank you for your word that comforts us, challenges us, convicts us. Lord, I ask that we'd allow your spirit to work right now in our lives. In areas of our lives that don't bring you glory, that we would desire to remove them. But Lord, also that you would bring to mind those that you place in our lives so that we can carry the gospel of peace too. Lord, that this year we would be challenged, that we would have the desire to reach one more family member, one more friend, one more neighbor, one more child, one more senior, so that they can walk with you, so they can celebrate with us, so that they can have the hope that you give to us. Lord, we love you. I thank you for being here. Thank you for allowing us to gather as your body. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. So we read this passage, and you're probably familiar with this passage, or at least a part of it, because sometimes there's only parts of it that we hear of Scripture. You might grab a piece of a verse, and you hear it over and over and over. Always when I challenge you, before you ever post or talk about a piece of a passage, go to the passage and see what he's talking about completely so you don't take it out of context. But we must realize Paul started this chapter speaking about his freedoms. And he gets to this part and says he gives up his freedoms for the sake of the gospel. It's different than society wants to do. That's different than we want to do in church. Well, I've been here longest, I get to. Paul says, I give up my freedom so I can reach one more. Paul, if you were here in Sunday school, you know what we're talking about. And I say, because it's not about me. It's about Jesus being made known to one more. You know, in other words, the souls of man are more important than Paul's comforts. And you and I need to get to the point that we understand the soul of man is more important than my freedom. The soul of a man is more important than my desires, my pursuits, my excitements, and even my football team. What Paul's saying, I give up all that stuff for one more soul. For one more soul. First thing I want to see here is the freedom surrendered. See, Paul makes it known there in verse 19, for though I be free from all men, like he starts it out right there, I'm free from all men. He's a free man. And in that day, we really understood freedom. It's hard for us to really understand freedom. We were brought up free. We thought we were in prison. We had to go to school every day, yeah? Feel like you're in prison when you're stuck on a school bus with a whole bunch of kids. I'm just kidding. I love it. But it's hard for us to understand freedom because we have so much of it. We've been brought up with it, and it's not been stolen from us yet. But in that day, what he's saying is, listen, I'm not a slave. He says, no man owns me. No man can buy me. In other words, I owe no man nothing. You see, because if he had gotten in a debt, they could take him as a slave to pay off his debt. So in other words, he answers to no man. He didn't even have a mortgage or car payment. Isn't that awesome? Anybody jealous? Yeah? Okay. No, I don't owe nobody nothing. There's nothing in here, but I don't owe anybody nothing. Paul's saying, listen, ain't nobody can pursue me. Nobody can demand of me. Nobody can require anything from me because I owe them nothing. And yet, even with that in mind, I am free. I don't owe you jack. He says in verse 19, the second part of it, yet have I made myself servant unto all. Wow. See, these are the parts of Scripture we try to skip. I'm free in Christ, Paul, and yet I made myself a slave. He says, I will live in a way as if I owe them everything. I'll live to reach them. It sounds ridiculous. He's going to give up his freedom that he had just spoken of. He's going to give up his comfort, his entertainment that he could have. He's not going to pursue his own riches that he used to have, the power that he had. He's not going to pursue his own desires. Why? Because I'm going to live as a servant to other men. Wow. Anybody in here say, yeah, that sounds about right. That's how I want to live. Why would he do something so dumb? In the verse 19, that I might gain the more. So I can gain more in the army of God. So that I can bring more into the kingdom of God. See, Paul recognized the importance of his mission. The importance of taking the gospel to, remember what we said earlier? Every creature. Yeah, that guy's a jerk. I'm not talking to him. So let's preach the gospel to every creature. Imagine Jesus Christ looking down at me. Wow, Ron's an idiot. I ain't sending the Spirit to him. No, he loved me enough in the midst of my sin to send ministers into my life that loved me enough to bring me to Jesus. That's what we're supposed to represent. That's what Paul's saying. He understood the importance of taking the gospel to every creature. For this reason, Paul wanted to reach one more, one more, one more, one more. We should reach the world. How often do you hear that? Carried away there. How do you hear? We got to reach the world for Jesus. Got to reach the world for Christ. And what happens? Overwhelmed. We'll throw some money in a plate and send it to a missionary. But guess what? You were called to reach your neighbor. You were called to reach your brother, your sister. And if we want to say the world, we get overwhelmed. But if we understand what he's saying, is one at a time. Who are you investing in? Who are you reaching out to? Who are you giving up your freedom for? To reach them for Christ. When we say one more, one at a time, I think we can do that, can't we? For this purpose, Paul surrenders his life, his comforts, his desire, his powers, his riches. And God used him in mighty ways to still today reaching people with the letters that he penned in the New Testament. Why? Because he gave up it all. I make myself a servant to all. Paul didn't take this command lightly. He didn't do it half-heartedly. He wasn't waiting for them to ask about the gospel. I was afraid they were going to ask me about this Jesus guy. Ask me about my faith. You ever been there? What if they asked me the hard question? He wasn't waiting. He wasn't sitting and hoping someone else would go and tell us somebody should take the gospel to so-and-so. God placed that person on your heart. Guess whose responsibility it is? There you go. Yeah. You see. Paul made his life's purpose to go and reach one more. Even when he was in prison, one more. One more. And when I got that one, I'm going to go for one more. I'm going to go for one more. And so what we see is the next point is freedom sacrificed. Often, we have a hard time accepting or liking change. Yeah, anybody with me? Yeah, change is tough. Especially when it's not change I want. You know, it's tough. And we'll hear stuff like, but that's not the way we have done it in the past. Tradition, it's hard to let go of, isn't it? It's not the way mama did it. And we hear, that's not how I think it should be done. Ooh, personal preference. Oh, that comes back to pride too, doesn't it? But that's just weird, you know? Personal comfort is what we run into there. I don't like to do that stuff, pure laziness. No amens on these, is there? Don't think I'm attacking you. I'm attacking me. Okay. These are personal. Well, Pastor, you don't understand. That's not my gift. Guess what? Evangelism was your calling. You don't need a gift where God has called you to be obedient to. The Great Commission was given to every believer. So for many reasons, we do not want to go out of our comfort zone. We don't want to change. We don't want to hand out tracts. We don't want to knock on a stranger's door to share the gospel. We don't want to enter the hospital, care centers, prisons, because they're uncomfortable. I don't know what to say. Some are good at that stuff. Others of us struggle with it. And we fail to do our best at the Great Commission. Sometimes that would require change in our lives. and we fail to truly be ambassadors, which is a title we're given, because we stop representing where we're at. See, Paul was so passionate about souls, about the gospel of Jesus Christ, he sacrifices freedom. Understand, surrender and sacrifice are two different things. To surrender is to give up. To sacrifice is to kill it. So first we saw he surrendered it. I don't need it. And now he's going to see that he absolutely did away with his freedoms. He killed it. Because in verse 20 he says, unto the Jews I became a Jew. Was he not like Jews? What's the big deal about being a Jew? Well, see, Paul became a Jew, which means he became a person bound by the law. He was tied down to the Old Testament laws. Understand, Paul's a believer in Jesus Christ. He has freedom. He's no longer stuck to the Jewish rituals, traditions. He wasn't bound to the Old Testament laws. The Jews followed him because they don't know, haven't placed faith in Jesus Christ yet. But Paul wants to reach the Jews. So what's he going to do? He's going to start following what they follow. He's going to follow the Old Testament traditions, the rituals, and laws because they're not sinful. They're not wrong. Because Paul was in Christ, those things were fulfilled before him by Jesus Christ. And Paul was going to start following those things while he's with the Jews. Why? So that the Jews would listen to him and talk to him so he could build relationships, purposeful relationships with the Jews. It's a way of getting them to listen. I spoke with a pastor about a missionary that we might have in here with him at some point that is going and reaching the Amish. You know what he doesn't do? He doesn't bring his cell phone into the Amish community and a projector to show them a video. You know what he does? He doesn't even drive his car there. He gets on his bike and he rides all over the gravel roads to go to the Amish places. Because it's easier to build a relationship with them because you're not entering their community offending them. He said, to the Amish, I am an Amish. By the way, it's okay to ride a bike. Just when you're... you don't want to lose your bike, you know what I'm saying? Don't laugh at that. You see here, and Paul's saying, to the Jews, I'll become as a Jew. I'm going to follow the rituals, the feasts, I should say, that they follow. I'm going to be obedient to the Old Testament laws, the traditions. Why? So I can build a relationship. Through Acts, we see many times and ways that Paul sacrificed his freedoms. He went through a ritual of purification at the temple. He required that Timothy, when he was traveling with him, be circumcised. Why? All with the purpose of not offending the ones they want to reach. Because to a Jew, we will be a Jew. Verse 21, to them that are without law, as without law. He became to those without the law, who is that? The Gentiles. That's everybody that ain't a Jew, by the way. Yeah. Those who were not obedient to the Old Testament laws, didn't follow the feast that honored God in the Old Testament. They were idolaters. They had idols everywhere. They had no fear of the true God. Paul became like the Gentile so that he could reach the Gentile. And yet, in verse 21, he remained, verse 21, about halfway through, under the law of Christ. Paul changed his speech, his appearance, his ways of living, and yet he did not violate the holiness and purity of God. He just became involved in things that could allow him in a relationship with them, that would allow them to listen to what he had to say. He kept the law of Christ to love God, to love others, to bear fruit. You and I can reach the world without being of the world. Anybody out there? You and I can reach the world without being of the world. If I can't be an effective preacher of God's word without wearing tight jeans, which y'all don't want anyway, having the tattoos. I'm not saying that's ungodly, but that's what we're using today to try to get attention and fit in and be relative. Without growing my hair out, without having different type of music, without, then it's not God's word we're focused on anyway, is it? See, Paul didn't have to go outside of living a righteous life. He just changed his everyday actions and how he talked. Guess what? When I go to Brazil, when I go to preach, I don't preach in English. It would do him no good, right? Just how it is. There's some things that we do here in the States when I go to Brazil I don't do. Guess what? I don't say, hey, that was okay. Because that would be completely cursing them right there. It's a very inappropriate act there. So you know what? We don't do it. It would offend them, and you know what they would lose? The message. Paul's saying to them, I'm going to do what I can to be effective in reaching them. Paul wanted to reach the Jews. He wanted to reach the Gentiles. And in verse 22, who else? To the weak became I as weak. It doesn't mean he's puny and can't lift a bench press. Hey, this is the weaker brother, young people in the faith, the new ones to come to hear of Christ. He says, to them I'm going to be as weak, as one of them. What does it mean? I'm going to be tender to them. Not like the church of Corinth. In 1 Corinthians here, if you read through the whole book, he was harsh. He tore them up. Why? Because they were living in sin and proud of it. But he says, to the weak, I became weak. I'm not going to be harsh to them. I'm going to be tender and loving and direct them, guide them right. It doesn't mean they're going to teach them watering things down. It means that he's going to bring it to their level. Help them understand without compromising the truth. He's going to be patient. He's going to be loving. He's going to be an example to the weak. You see how Paul is going to change in order to reach somebody else? He's going to give up his freedom. Well, I just want to be myself. Well, I don't. I want to be Christ. You? Understand. You're supposed to be covered with Christ. Scripture says to put on Jesus Christ. That when you are seen, it's not about you, it's about him. And that's what Paul says. I want to reach the Jews. I want to reach the Gentiles. I want to reach believers. And just in case you didn't understand, and just in case someone thinks that they were left out of a group, verse 22 at the end of it says, I am made all things to all men. In case you didn't feel like you fit into one of those groups, in case you didn't understand what the groups were, I want you to know I'm going to do whatever I can to reach everyone I can because I was told to reach every creature. Believer, you were told to reach every creature. Will you sacrifice a freedom for it? Will you sacrifice a tradition, a comfort, a preference, and yet not violate the holiness, the calling of God? Understand, Paul was not trying to be better than his community. He wasn't just trying to make a better community. He was not even trying to have a better reputation. He wasn't trying to feel good about himself. I did a good deed. What was he trying to do? Verse 20, look at the end of the verse. That I might gain them that are under the law. That I might gain them that are under the law. Verse 21, the end of it. I might gain them that are without the law. Verse 22 at the end of it. That I might gain the weak. Verse 22 at the very end. That I might by all means save some. What is his purpose? Over and over and over to reach one more. One more. Paul, you're going to give all that up for one? Yes. Yes. Is our love of the gospel that powerful? Then we see a sacrificial hope. In verse 23, look, and this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. says, I shouldn't be doing this by myself, but I will if I have to. But I want to be a partaker of the gospel with you. With you. Can we do this as a team? Can we do this together? Will we sacrifice our freedoms? Will we change so that we can reach one more? Paul's hope was that they accept the gospel of Jesus Christ through the preaching of God's word, and then they'd be saved by placing faith in Jesus Christ. That's all he wanted, that they're added to the church. Paul was all in with this mission. Nothing stopped him, not even prison. We talked about that. Even in prison, he was excited. They could reach the ones in there now. People were listening to him. Beatings didn't stop him. He was beat. All he knew is sacrificing for Jesus brought rewards. Not threats. He was threatened over and over and over. What's the best result to a threat? Greater is he that is in me than he who is in the world. All you can do is kill my flesh. That's all you can do. Because I've already been given life to my spirit. It's quiet out there. Shipwrecks didn't stop Paul. Poverty didn't stop Paul. Not even death. Huh? Reading his letter today. Because he let God use him. Why did Paul do this? Because the gospel is that important. The gospel is that important. But also, the soul of man is that important. In Mark 8, 36, listen to this verse. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Looking for a big bank account, the huge retirement, a bigger boat, another car. What good is it to gain the whole world if you don't know Jesus Christ? What good is it for me to have all those things if my loved one doesn't know Jesus? What good is it for me to provide everything for my kid? I don't introduce him and lead him to Jesus Christ. What good is it for this church if we build on, make a massive building, beautiful, and we're already blessed? But what good is it to have all this if we don't preach the saving gospel of Jesus Christ? So what is the priority? What is important to us? The soul of man is more important than the whole world. Because he can gain the whole world. And one day, he will stand before God. And judgment will be there. Man needs the message that you and I have more than anything else in the world. Man's soul is worth more than anything else we can give him. I remember, it was Peter, I believe it was Peter, traveling in the book of Acts. And a beggar asked for money. He says, silver and gold have I nothing. But, and he goes to introduce him to the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know what, that should be our answer. I'm going to help you where I can, physically, with the purpose of helping you spiritually. As a church with the deacons, we don't have the customer desire to buy everybody's gas and pay everybody's rent and buy them food. But we do that with a prayer that we can plant a seed of the gospel. Because bigger than anything else we can do is to share with somebody the saving power of Jesus Christ. The blood that was shed to wash away our sins. The work that was done so you and I can be made holy. The work that was done to bring a sinful, condemned man that is on his way to hell and reconcile him with a loving and holy God with a promise of mansions in God's glory for all eternity. That's what we get to introduce people to. If you got to go out on the street and offer somebody, random person, $1 million and they get offended and upset at you, you're going to walk away saying, well, I tried, right? But here we are scared to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to people because they might get offended. What if we just said it's more important? The greatest thing we can give is the message of Jesus Christ. Church, we've got to take evangelism as a priority. Christ calls you as an ambassador. He says you are the carrier of his light. You are the salt that should make a difference in this world. He has placed you in this community. He has given you relationships. He has given you family. He has given you neighbors. He has given you people that you run into on a regular basis. And all those people in your life are not coincidences. You believe God is all-knowing, all-power, and has a purpose? He's put those people in your lives so you can be his ambassador to them and introduce them to his Savior, Jesus Christ. He's given those people to you as opportunities to fulfill your commissioning to preach good news, to preach the saving gospel of Jesus Christ, to reach the lost with the gospel, to build believers to do the same. And as a church, everything we do needs to be about the gospel. Why do you do VBSs? So we can plant the seed of the gospel through, maybe reach a family. Why do we do dinners? Well, to encourage the church. When we go in a dark world, you're encouraged before you go out. Also gives an opportunity to bring a lost with you, to build relationship with believers that are the light of Jesus Christ. What do we help people through benevolence? With the gospel. Desire to plant the gospel. Why do we go make visitations in the hospital, funeral, or do we do funerals? Why do we go make visits in random people's houses to plant the gospel? Why do we take teens to camp the gospel? See what the theme of our church needs to be? It's all about the gospel. Reaching one more with the gospel. Reaching one more with the name of Jesus Christ. Let you and I this year, everything we do, everything we say, be focused with a desire to reach one more. And maybe right now, God's already brought to mind who God has placed in your life to start investing in, to start speaking to start sharing Jesus Christ with the ultimate purpose of verbally telling him that they need Jesus. And how? Would you stand with me? We're going to have a time of invitation. I'm going to challenge you to humble yourself in prayer. At the end of service, we've got a, as we do yearly, a little paper up here that we put in the Ed building. It's not to show off, not to brag. It's as a constant reminder of our commitment. If you want to make a commitment to this, don't have to be a church member, but you want to be a part of that team, you just sign on there. We're not going to read it and send it out in the mail, but it's a commitment. But right now, let's take a time of prayer. God, use me. Use me to touch one soul. Use me to present the gospel. Remember, you're not the one bringing salvation. You're the one bringing a seed. There's only one that gives in. That's what. One soul at a time. That we can see God do his work. Father, we come to you. We thank you for loving us, for being right here with us. And Lord, I ask that you'd put your hand on our church as we have a time of invitation, that we would humble ourselves before you, that we lift up the names that we already know you've placed in our lives with a purpose. Lord, also that our eyes would be open from day to day on who you place in our life and how we can open a conversation, how we can start to share the gospel. Lord, as you give us wisdom, give us the desire. We love you, Lord. In your name I pray. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed as the piano plays. Would you step out? Would you come up and just have a time of prayer? Maybe God's placed someone in your life that needs Jesus. And God's placed in your life. Right there where you're at, you just sit down. Let's take this time seriously.